Welcome to the Undivided Podcast with Dr. Chris Crane. Dr. Crane is the Executive Director of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. The BMBA exists with the mission to encourage, equip, and engage the community for the glory of God.
Welcome to the podcast. This is Chris Crane. Thank you for listening to Undivided. I hope you'll share our podcast with others. Today, we have a very special guest in the podcast studio. Mary Teal is with us. Mary Teal is originally from Montgomery, Alabama, and she has spent some time on the mission field after graduating from Clemson. So welcome to the podcast, Mary.
Thank you for having me.
It is truly a great honor to have you here. And this podcast would be of special interest to students out there, maybe even college students, and you sense that God may be leading you to do missions or to see if that's where he might use you. So Mary is just going to share a little bit of her experience. So Mary, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, yeah, my name is Mary Conley Teal. I'm from Montgomery, Alabama. I went to Clemson University and studied plant and environmental sciences. And then the month after I graduated, I went to training with the IMB to be a journeyman, which is a two-year program to kind of get a taste for missions to see if you would want to do it career.
That is fantastic. So tell us about how did you find out about the journeyman program?
So I actually found out about it through my sending church, First Baptist Montgomery. We had sent out a few journeymen as I was a child. I had seen them grow up and be sent out by our church, and our church's mission statement is bring them in, build them up, and send them out. So being from a church that emphasized mission and had a heart for that is where I learned about it, and then felt also that burden in my heart to go as well.
So where did you go, Mary?
So I went to Kabong, Uganda, which is the northeast corner of Uganda, because there's a tribe there called the Karamojong, and that is who we were working with.
Amazing. So you studied at Clemson, and I see your degree here. I have it on this piece of paper, a Bachelor of Science in Plant and Environmental Sciences. So did your degree program prepare you in some way to go out and contribute on the mission field?
Yes. So I chose Plant and Environmental Sciences because I felt the call to mission from a young age. So then going to school, I wanted to choose a degree that I thought would be useful physically for the people group that I would be serving among. And I know that I have a heart for rural context, a heart that would be more just out in the bush. And so knowing that they would know a lot about farming is why I chose that, just to be useful in that way and to connect and form relationships using agriculture as a gateway into the community.
Well, we're grateful that you took that step of faith, Mary. I have to ask what it was like when you stepped off the plane in Uganda. What were your impressions when you got there?
Stepping off of the plane was a surreal feeling. I remember being like, wow, I'm really in Africa right now, and being a little bit overwhelmed because it is hard and it is scary and it is far from home. But I knew that I was held in the hands of my Father. I knew that he was with me and that I could take courage in his presence and also find truth in his word to root my heart in, and to just use my hope as an anchor for my soul and the word of God as what I clung to. So I remember feeling slightly overwhelmed, but also feeling a deep sense of peace, knowing that the Lord had chosen me for this and knowing that he would sustain me through it.
Well, I'm encouraged to hear that God took your fears and all of your anxiety, and certainly he used that and he shaped you and he built your faith. And I know there are probably college students who are listening thinking, wow, I don't know if I could do something that bold and commit to 2 years. What would you say to someone who is reluctant or struggling and they're considering God's call to give it a chance?
I would say go to him in prayer. Like, let him break your heart for the nations. Let him break your heart for the things that break his own, because God cares deeply about the nations. You read it over and over and over again in his word that his name will be exalted among the nations, and you'll see where his heart goes out to the brokenhearted, his heart goes out to the poor, his heart goes out to the lost. And so he will give you a burden for that as well when you seek his face and surrender your will to his. I would say, as far as encouragement for the fears, once again, his word is going to ring true in your life when you dive into it and take it for what it says. Like, I remember reading in Isaiah when it says, "Here I am, Lord, send me," and praying that to God, like, "Here I am, Lord, I will go if you tell me to." Or even reading, like, in one of the Gospels where it says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So pray to the God of the harvest to raise up laborers." So that became my prayer of, "Lord, if there are people out there who you want me to share your word with, God, I will go. I will be a laborer among the harvest if that's your will for my life." And I also think just knowing that his grace is truly sufficient. Like, I know the Lord on such a deeper level as my sustainer and as my healer and as my shepherd because of my time in Kabong. Like, I feel richly blessed because of just the experience that it was. But also knowing, too, that his grace is sufficient in the fact that my life leading up to Kabong, I'm very thankful for. I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised with parents who encouraged and supported me. But I wasn't always, walking the way that I was called to. Like, there were times when I strayed, and the Lord came after me and pursued me as my shepherd. And there was times that I chose the things of the world and got broken because of that. But the Lord was faithful to heal me and call me back to himself. And, like, I felt his compassion and his mercy so much, like, growing up, that I knew that, like, I want to share that with others as well. So knowing that God uses broken instruments to go be his vessels among the nations, like, it's okay if you have a past, and it's okay because you don't have to be perfect because you're covered in the perfect blood of Jesus. And I held on to Acts 9 when it said, so that's Paul's conversion when he's on the road to Damascus and then he's blinded by Jesus. But then the Lord goes to Ananias and he says, like, "Go to this man named Saul, he's praying." But Ananias is like, "Oh no, I've heard how evil this man is." And I remember that, like, resonating in my heart of, like, sometimes feeling like that, like, "Lord, I know how evil I can be and I know how broken I can be." But the Lord says, "No, like, I have chosen Saul. Like, Saul is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name to the Gentiles. And, like, I will show him how much he has to suffer for the sake of my name." But I think that resonated with me as well of, like, "Lord, it's not me. It's not my strength. It's not my goodness. It's solely because I'm a chosen instrument of yours and you can use me, and in my weakness, like, your power is made perfect." And that's what I want to reflect. I want to exalt his name. I want to exalt his beauty and his glory and his goodness among the nations. And God can do that through you. So trust, yeah, his power in you.
I hope that the students who hear this will take that to heart. Mary, working in church planning, which is a part of what the Lord allowed you to do while you were in Uganda, must have been like being on the front lines of spiritual warfare. So share with us a little bit about that, maybe some stories about how God used you and the team you were serving with in church planting, the kind of situations you encountered. Could you just speak to that?
Yes. So the Karamojong, they are cattle herders. They are an animistic culture. A lot of times we would compare Kabong to the Old Testament, just in some of the wickedness we would see with polygamy, alcoholism, child neglect, and just the things that the people cared about were so evil and offensive to our sense of righteousness. So when we were going up against that, it did feel like we were on the front lines. Like, it felt like we were at war. It felt like, "Lord, we need you to win this battle for us, because these people are so hostile to what the gospel is." And not necessarily hostile towards us. Like, Ugandans are very kind, hospitable. It's a warm culture. So they wanted to be friendly. But as far as their lifestyle, so wicked. So I would say, once again, like, the Lord cares about these people, and we held on to that. We held on to Matthew 6. If the Lord cares for the wildflowers, then he certainly cares for us and for the Karamojong and for his name to be honored and for his name to be considered holy in this place. We held on to Revelation 7:9 of the Karamojong will be before the throne and before the Lamb. And they will cry out, worthy, holy. They will worship the Lord as God. So I think we kept that like end in sight of knowing it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Not every seed we sow is going to reap fruit, but we trust that the Lord is working, that the Lord is making ways in the wilderness, and that he will call the Karamojong to himself. So being in an animistic culture means that they went to the witch doctor for healing. It means that they would turn to just their ancestral cultural beliefs before they would turn to the Lord. Like if someone had been killed in a raid, then they would do animal sacrifices. They would undress the children and like smear the cow poop on the children to protect them and bless them from future raiding. They would sacrifice animals so that the rain would come. They would do that kind of darkness. That was where their hope is. So I think just knowing that they had turned to things created instead of their creator is a heartbreaking thing to get to see. But to get to come in and proclaim truth of the Lord is creator, the Lord is shepherd, the Lord, and shepherd super resonates with the Karamojong because they're cattle herders. So they understand the concept of like, when I am weak, my shepherd will come to me. Like my shepherd won't leave me because I'm a sheep. Like my shepherd will carry me through. Like those concepts deeply resonated with the Karamojong. And then just being able to boldly proclaim stories like the story of Elijah when God sends fire from heaven to prove himself as the one true God, and getting to also, though, explain the gentleness and the humility of Jesus, of like the broken and the sinful get to come before Jesus and he receives them, and we can come to him when we're weary and he gives us rest. It's just a beautiful thing to get to explain to them that there's a God that loves them deeply and wants to know them and wants to reconcile them to himself. And he provided a way for that through the blood of Jesus and through his death and resurrection. And getting to explain that our God is alive and he's active and he's moving and he defeated death, he defeated darkness, and is victorious over those things. It just all rings true. So getting to proclaim it to the Karamojong was just such an incredible experience. And like, yeah, we saw the Spirit of God move on behalf of one person. Like he burdened my heart with something one time, and I was being disobedient and stubborn and kind of refused to share it because I had already explained too much that day, like when we were teaching, and was kind of like, oh, I want my national partners to lead out. So I was, yeah, kind of having like an argument with the Holy Spirit of like, I'm not going to say that. And then my national partner turns around to me and like verbatim for what the Holy Spirit had just put on my heart, she said, do you think we should share about this? I was like, yes, we should 100% share about this. And then it ended up that what we shared that day was exactly what one woman in this very dark village needed to hear. And she expressed she wanted freedom from witchcraft. So we prayed with her, and she did a lot of spirit-led things that were from her own heart and from her own convictions that were so pure and holy. And then the Lord used her as a light in her village, and La Capelle is her name, but she was baptized. And then for months, it was just La Capelle answering the questions we were asking, listening intently to the Word of God. But then about 6 months later, we just saw the Spirit of God fall upon these people, and we saw them understanding the Word of God and having soft hearts because, like, La Capelle stepped out in faith and showed boldness and stood alone for so long, but she wasn't alone because she had God with her. And so, yeah, just seeing the Spirit of God move for La Capelle and then seeing God use La Capelle to reach the rest of her village was super encouraging, and just, like, yeah, testifies to the love of God for these people and his power. And I think, too, just what obedience can lead to, because we didn't do anything in our own strength. It was we will proclaim the word of God because we believe that it is true, and we will be confident in that, and we will trust that the Spirit will move on our behalf and on behalf of the people and on behalf of the name of the Lord. So I don't even know if that answered the question.
Perfectly. And Mary, I know that many who are listening may not know exactly the intricacies of how the IMB works, and you'd mentioned the team there. Talk about how they made you a part of their team while you were there as a journeyman, and just how God has worked through that team in Uganda.
So I'm super thankful for the IMB because, like I said earlier, I went the month after I graduated from Clemson. So I went from Clemson, graduate December 2020, then January 2021, I went to training with the IMB. And even that 7-week training period was so beneficial of, this is what the missionary task is, and this is how you do it. Because it's like, I knew I felt called to go. I didn't necessarily feel equipped. Like, I kind of felt like I don't really actually know what I'm doing, but I trust that the Lord is going to lead and guide. And the IMB comes along you so well to teach you and to train you and to raise you up and to kind of give you the tools that you need to go out. So I'm thankful for that. And then you go on a team. So I had a journeyman partner. Her name is Shannon, and she is my best friend now. She's just truly incredible. She's a little older, so she was almost like a mentor figure in my life as well. So I felt like I had her to counsel me and to walk alongside me and to cry with me and to rejoice with me. So to have that friendship and that community was so important, and to partner in ministry of going out and knowing that the Spirit of God is moving in both of us, and we can both like proclaim things boldly. And like, I got to learn so much of how she did evangelism, how she did discipleship, like what the Lord was teaching her and what things resonated with the Karamojong by watching her do life. And then we also had national partners that we went out with, which is the same. I learned so much from my national partners and just have such a broader view and deeper view of who God is by getting to see how they worship him and like what truths deeply resonate in their hearts. I got to learn from that. And then we have a team leader. So he led out in strategy, and they welcomed us into their family and into their home because we lived on a compound in the bush. So it was a very tight-knit group and team. And so I'm thankful for that. They don't just throw you out. They give you community, and they give you a safe space and a place to cry and process and just a place to find refreshment. So I'm thankful for the IMB. They even have counselors within the IMB and have meetings and trainings that you get pulled out for occasionally, which is super helpful and necessary for just being poured into as well.
What a remarkable experience that was for you, Mary. And some of our listeners may be aware that the IMB works all over the world, and there are teams like those who served with Mary there in Uganda. And if you have questions about how to become a journeyman and give 2 years of your life, or there are many other programs that you might have an affinity for, you can go to imb.org, or you can contact us, and we'll be glad to be a host for you and help you get to the right person. So we want to help you. If God is working in your life about serving in missions for a season, or maybe giving your life. So I have to ask this, Mary, what's next for you?
So next, I am spending some time nearer to home. I am spending some time just really focusing on being poured into and focusing on healing and being led beside still waters for a season. And then from there, I want to do some seminary online and go back with the IMB.
Wow. So you sense that through your experience, it was an affirmation that you are to give your life to missions.
Correct.
Fantastic. I want to thank you for being with us today on the podcast, Mary. I think your story will resonate with many of our listeners. And I want to ask you to do something. Would you pray for anyone out there, maybe they're a student and they're thinking about missions? Just pray for them that God would give them direction as he gave to you.
Yes, of course. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, God. I thank you that you are a mighty God, that you are a sovereign God, that you are holy and that you are worthy, God. I thank you just for loving us, God. I thank you for your spirit that lives within us, God. I thank you just for your beauty and your glory and your goodness, God. I thank you for your word that is true. I thank you for your presence and your spirit that lives within us, God. So I pray right now for those that have listened, God. I pray for those that are beginning to feel a burden in their heart, God, that they're beginning to feel you stirring in their spirit, God. I pray that you would give them clarity of mind. I pray that you would give them an urgency in their spirit to go. I pray that you would break their hearts for the lost, God. I pray that you would break their hearts for those that don't have access to your word, that those that don't have access to your teaching, that they don't have access to a church, God. I pray that you would break people's heart for that and that you would give them the courage to go, God. I pray that you would give them just the peace to go, knowing that you go before us, that you go behind us, that you go with us, that you don't leave us, you don't forsake us, but that you are a God who is near, that you are a God who comes and dwells with us. So I pray that you would fill us with your spirit now, God. I pray that you would fill us just with your courage, that you would fill us with your love, that you would fill us with your peace and with your joy and with your kindness, God. I pray that you would just give us contentment in our calling, God. I pray that you would give us affirmation in our calling, knowing that we are chosen by you, God, that you called us out of darkness and into light so that we could be made holy, that we could be set apart, because we are yours and you are ours, God. So I pray that we would find rest in you, and I pray that you would just be exalted in our lives, God, that our lives would make much of who you are, God. I pray that we would become less and that you would become more in us, God, and I pray that you would use us as your chosen instruments to carry your name among the nations. I pray that you would give us your grace, that we would taste and see your goodness, and that we would know just the sufficiency of your grace, that we can trust you, God, because you are faithful, that you do not fail, and that you will be exalted among the nations, God, and we rejoice in that. So show us the way, God. Show us how we can be a part of this, God. Show us the way that is higher and better, and may we lead lives that are surrendered to you, God. I pray that we would surrender our will to yours, God. So here we are, Lord, send us. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Undivided, a podcast of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. For more information on the association and to sign up for our newsletter, please visit bmbaonline.org as we seek to encourage, engage, and equip others in the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.